Renewable energy and the movement to make it more widespread was partially pioneered in central Wisconsin in the 1960s and 70s. And from those first forays into that new technology, the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, or MREA, was born.
This weekend, the organization is staging its 27th annual energy fair. It's a tradition that attracts thousands of people from around the country. Ahead of the fair's kickoff today, WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bent spoke with three Milwaukee-based renewable energy proponents.
Peter Murphy is MREA Solar Program Manager. Elizabeth Hittman is Sustainability Program Coordinator with Milwaukee's Environmental Collaboration Office. They are currently working with homeowners interested in using solar energy.
But we hear first from Amy Hart, who's Senior Manager of Public Policy for the California-based Sunrun. Hart says wind energy is getting a boost thanks to a utility-scale project in southwest Wisconsin, and solar energy generation has increased as well.
2015 ended up being the best year for solar in Wisconsin, and part of that's because it's becoming increasingly economically viable, and also the prices for energy is going up in the state, so people are looking for options. What had happened is there was a proposed rate increase for We Energies, and the fixed increase did go up on all residential customers. So residential customers will see that their bill, the fixed charge that doesn't change, did go up. But in addition to that, We Energies had proposed an additional fee on customers that had solar on their rooftops. And so after that was approved by the commission, the Alliance for Solar Choice, along with Renew Wisconsin, challenged that decision in court, saying that the Public Service Commission approved the fees with no basis in fact. So there was nothing in the record that justified those fees on customers. And we were successful in court and had those fees overturned. And that decision was not appealed by the commission, nor We Energies. And this year, We Energies could have come in for a rate case seeking another rate hike, but they did not. It would have been the largest fee on solar customers in the country, and we were successful in getting that overturned because there was simply nothing in the record that showed that solar customers aren't paying their fair share. In fact, every state that has done an analysis that looks at the costs and benefits of rooftop solar shows that rooftop solar is actually a benefit to all ratepayers, and that the costs actually can come down. And so that was something we said, look, we want a data-driven approach, and if there's going to be an analysis of what the impacts of solar are on the grid, let's do that study, let's get the facts. But just penalizing customers for coming up with whatever solution they can to lower their energy bills is not appropriate for the state.
So it takes not only belief that this is what you want to do, but the financial means to do so.
Yeah, and there are still incentives available, particularly here in Wisconsin. We're lucky to have the Focus on Energy program that still has cashback incentives for renewables if you live in a participating utility area, which We Energies is a participating utility in Focus. People come with this high number in their head of how much it's going to cost them to go solar. And, you know, the price has come down so much in the last decade on the actual components. So they're always pleasantly surprised when they find out how much it will cost up front. But then you have those benefits of Focus on Energy, cashback incentives of $600 per kilowatt. And then there's still the federal tax credit, 30% federal tax credit, as well as net metering. So those three things. And net metering is when, you know, you have that second meter on your home and one meter keeps track of how much energy you're using and the other keeps track of how much energy your solar panels are producing. And if you have excess production at the end of the month, you would get credit from the utility for that. So those three things kind of have brought down that return on investment. So now we tell people it's between 7 and 10 years, depending on your household's energy use and your system size and all of that. But
so all of those systems are in place in Wisconsin?
Correct.
And Milwaukee has the loan program as well. So the financing piece is the other challenge, I think.
Yeah, it seems like the two biggest challenges are replacing your roof first, which a lot of people realize after they come to our information session that they might want to replace their roof. So that's kind of a hurdle that some people have to overcome. And then really just financing the system. You know, most people seek financing. You know, not everyone has the money saved up for solar. So, you know, we say you can work with your own bank or credit union if you're more comfortable with that. Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee has its own loan program with Summit Credit Union that might be available to, you know, a wider audience if you're a new homeowner and you don't have as much equity in your home and you can't do a home equity line of credit. The Summit loan would be an option for you. And, you know, we work really closely with Summit to make sure that they understand the benefits of solar and that it's a good investment of your money.
So Wisconsin stands out in its history as being sort of a founding center. There's this fair that's gone on for decades. People come from around the country. But Wisconsin does not have the reputation as being, yippee-yi-yo, we want you all to come and do renewable energy. So what's happening in other states that is not in place in Wisconsin?
So, there's Wisconsin can learn a lot from other states, and there's sort of two directions that we're seeing states going. One is certainly states that are embracing the technology and saying we want to create the grid of the future that Peter was talking about, where you have a whole bunch of different types of energy that's feeding the grid, and it's more distributed than just having large power plants. And states have strong policies that are supporting anything from rooftop solar to large wind farms, and generally we're seeing that on both coasts. And a lot of that's spurred by high energy prices, but it's also this commitment to saying this is what we want in the state. We don't want to be shipping in coal. We want to be able to create a resilient grid in the future, and it's a combination of, you know, the regulatory environment, but then the policymakers saying this is what we want to support, and we want to support economic development. What we've seen in the Midwest is not necessarily a recognition of what that transition could look like, and a recognition that there are a lot of businesses, hundreds of businesses already operating in the state that are involved in the supply chain for wind and solar. And I think that's something that it would be great to tell that story more of seeing here are the businesses that make all of the different components in the supply chain, and that it is an economic driver, not only in the state, but especially in the Midwest. But we have seen, even in states where there aren't strong renewable policies, like we're going to invest in incentives, we're seeing in states like Iowa and Indiana and Michigan saying we want to make sure that people who can have control and can manage and lower their energy bills. And so all of those options are available. Energy efficiency, rooftop solar, all of those options still need to be available for customers. So there's still that protection. It's the protection of net metering and expansion of different programs around the Midwest. So we can learn a lot from other states. We can actually learn a lot. You know, you had asked about incentives earlier too. And the federal government extended the tax credit, the investment tax credit for solar and wind, and it is actually set to phase out. So it's a long-term program, which really helps businesses, our local installers who are looking to hire more people or do more installations, can say, okay, well, we've got the next 5 years and we can project what the incentive is going to be. In Wisconsin, the last couple of years, we've struggled because it's sort of a stop and start to those small incentives. So we still have them, but they could run out this year, and then we don't have them at the end of the year, or they may disappear.
So focus on energy, for instance.
Yes. So focus on energy in the state has been sort of a stop-start incentive program the last couple of years, where at the beginning of the year we'll have an incentive. Next, you know, the second half of the year we won't because they ran out of funding. And so creating a stable program, sort of mirroring that investment tax credit at the federal level, would be really helpful, where you kind of help the industry get their legs under it, and then it phases out, and that creates predictability.
We don't mine coal here. So every dollar spent on coal in Wisconsin is a dollar sent out of the state. And if you can invest in renewable energy here, the installers are all local businesses, and the energy comes from the sun. It's produced here and it's consumed here. It's fundamentally better for the Wisconsin economy.
Anything else about Well, Milwaukee? Is the public, I mean, I know that in that rate case, a lot of people came out for hearings.
Yeah.
What does that signal in your mind? I mean, are more people getting involved in the energy conversation, whether they necessarily think, I want solar on my rooftop?
Yeah, I think what we saw in the We Energy's rate case in 2014, and I think just the increased interest in Milwaukee Shines and the Solar Group Buy program, is that people are starting to get more connected to their energy bills, where before, you know, you would say, okay, well, I don't have very many options. I will flip on the light switch and I get my bill at the end of the month. And as there are more more different options become more energy efficient, and especially as rooftop solar is becoming more economically viable, there are more options for customers, and so they're engaging. And so, yeah, we saw a record number of people going to public hearings, the Public Service Commission, not the most exciting thing. You know, people probably can go their entire life not going to a Public Service Commission meeting and not know what they're missing and be fine with it. But this became very important for homeowners, and it's still going to be. So this isn't over. This is something that's continuing, of being able to manage your own energy bills, lower your own energy bills, through technology that is here today, but also coming in the future, whether it's storage and different technologies that will be available to homeowners. And so it's something that for the first time people can see, oh, I can put solar on my roof, I can lower my energy bill, and that inherently makes sense. And to be punished for that just doesn't make sense for customers at the end of the day, but also for the state, for economic development.
I agree. I feel like one of the things that Peter and I have seen after running the Solar Group Buy program for so many years are just how invested people get then in their monthly utility bill and their solar production and their energy use. Like, we will get emails from homeowners that installed solar years ago, and they were experimenting with time of use, and, you know, they just really dig into their energy use every single month, or they'll take screenshots of their online monitoring of how much electricity their solar panels are producing and post it on Facebook and tag us. And it's like, they get so excited. It'll be like, you can see it from 11 to 12, a cloud went over and my production went down. Like, and I think like that has been so helpful, because people, you know, understand, or they really dig into the numbers and see solar as an investment. And so when changes are made that affect that investment, they become very involved. And I think that had a lot to do with how many people showed up to those hearings. And, you know, it's great to see people, you know, take such a strong interest in their energy production and energy use.
To that point, I would agree that folks are becoming a lot more connected now, especially when it comes to solar. And it's really easy to see if your home is really even suitable for solar. Google's Project Sunroof made it to the Milwaukee area in the past month or so. So you can go to Google Project Sunroof, type in your address, and see not only your solar opportunity, but also that of all your neighbors. So it seems like it's a great opportunity for people to connect over this.
Amy Hart is Senior Manager of Public Policy for the California-based company Sunrun. Peter Murphy is the Midwest Renewable Energy Association Solar Program Manager. And Elizabeth Hittman is Sustainability Program Coordinator with Milwaukee's Environmental Collaboration Office. They spoke with Susan Bentz.
The 27th Annual Energy Fair kicks off today in Custer, Wisconsin. You'll find more information about the three-day event on our website, as well as the Solar Group Buy program that's being pulled together in the Milwaukee area.